The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Did You Know Show. I am your host, Alex Parnute, and together we'll attempt to resolve some of the most complex problems on the planet, but in a very common sense sort of way, something that seems to be sorely missing in this age of media information overload. In doing this show, one would ask, why have I committed myself to this task? The plain and simple answer is, I want to get information to you that seems to be missing and not provided in the old media. So join me in the show through your interaction by providing comments, suggestions, and if necessary, criticism when you don't agree. You can contact me at shout@theflypod.com. Did you know that the Fort Hood shooting that took place on November the 5th, 2009, is still unresolved? Did you know that the shooter, Nidal Malik Hassan, a 42-year-old Army major, is still in military custody? He is still receiving his military pay, and due to a court ruling allowing him to grow a beard, which is in violation of military regulations, is looking more and more like one of those Middle East terrorists. Did you know that Nidal Malik Hassan requested to plead guilty but was not allowed due to Army rules, and that judge has been removed and another judge has now been appointed? Did you know that between December 2008 and June 2009, Hassan exchanged at least 18 emails with a known terrorist, now deceased, by drone attack authorized specifically by the President of the United States? On November the 6th, 2008, the Fort Hood shooting occurred. During the event, Hassan was heard shouting Allah Akbar, defined as praise God or God is greater. He shouted this as he opened fire, killing 13 and wounding 32 Americans. On November the 9th, 2009, President Obama said, and I quote, "I would ask all Americans to keep the men and women of Fort Hood in your thoughts and prayers. We will make sure that we get answers to every single question about this horrible incident, and I want all of you to know that as Commander-in-Chief, there's no greater honor, but also no greater responsibility for me than to make sure that the extraordinary men and women in uniform are properly cared for and that their safety and security when they are at home is provided for." I want you to remember that portion of this presidential statement when the president says, "No greater responsibility for me than to make sure that the extraordinary men and women in uniform are properly cared for." Remember that phrase. On January the 27th, 2010, two civilian security officers that responded to the Fort Hood shooting and confronted Hassan, Sergeant Kimberly Munley, and her partner, Senior Sergeant Mark Todd, were special guests at Obama's 2010 State of the Union address. This was a show that was put on strictly for media. Sergeant Munley was shot three times in her confrontation with Nadal, and now she has been laid off from her job with the base civilian security force. Recently, in a news statement, Sergeant Munley said, "Betrayed is a good word," when asked about how those affected by the Hassan shooting were feeling about their government. "Not the least bit have the victims been taken care of," she further stated. The real victims of the Fort Hood terrorist attack have been neglected. One can surely say that these extraordinary men and women, both military and civilian, have not been properly cared for, neither by the Army nor by the Commander-in-Chief, Barack Hussein Obama. If one looks at the reality of the situation, one can only draw one conclusion, and that is that, yes, these extraordinary men and women, using the President's words, have been neglected. First, they were neglected by a government that a year before the shooting, a government entity, the FBI, uncovered contacts between the shooter and a terrorist operator called Anwar al-Awlaki, but did not disclose this information to the Defense Department. Would it also not be neglect when former officers and supervisors cautioned Hassan's superiors as to his erratic behavior and inappropriate comments relating to soldiers coming back from the war? One would think in this heightened state of caution that the United States military, due to the actions going on in the Middle East, terrorist attacks occurring within the U.S., and the number of homegrown terrorists, that this U.S. military would have been on the lookout for potential problems stemming from persons within its own ranks. It is now 3 years after the shooting. These victims, those extraordinary men and women mentioned by the President of the United States, have now had to take action on their own due to the failure of the government to provide for them. On November the 5th, 2012, 148 persons affected by the shooting, including victims and families of victims, filed a wrongful death claim against the United States government, Hassan, and the estate of Anwar al-Awlaki. Their lawsuit alleges there were due process violations, intentional misrepresentations, assault and battery, gross negligence, and civil conspiracy claims. The lawsuit further alleges neglect on the part of the government and that the Defense Department is avoiding legal and financial responsibility for the killings by referring to the shootings as workplace violence. Give me a break. Rather than calling it what it was, a terrorist attack. These victims had to file this lawsuit due to the government's ignoring the claims filed by the victims relating to the shooting. And what is it that the victims want? Nothing less than a reasonable action on the part of the government to call this an act of terror rather than referring to it as an act of workplace violence. And finally, one would have to ask, why is this case still pending? We are not lacking persons who were victims of this horrendous act. We have witnesses that would testify that Hassan was the shooter. Additionally, there has been evidence uncovered by the FBI that he, Hassan, was in contact with a known al-Qaeda terrorist and that he was practicing Muslim who had made disparaging remarks regarding these soldiers that have returned from the Middle East with various psychological problems who he, as a doctor, a military psychiatrist, was supposed to be treating. When one looks at the military code, it would seem we have a clear-cut case against Hassan. Article 118 of the Uniform Code of Military Justice states, any person subject to this chapter who, without justification or excuse, unlawfully kills a human being when he, 1, has a premeditated design to kill, 2, intends to kill or inflict great bodily harm, 3, is engaged in an act that is inherently dangerous to another and evinces a wanton disregard of human life. If found guilty under these clauses, he would suffer death or imprisonment for life as a court-martial may direct. Does this not fit when one looks at the military definition of premeditated murder? What are the elements? That a certain named or described person is dead? We have that. That the death results from the act or omission of the accused? We have that. That the killing was unlawful, and that's absolute. That at the time of the killing, the accused had a premeditated design to kill. If one looks at the elements of the Article 118, one finds that all four required elements are present. What is the government, i.e. the military, waiting for? The longer this man stays alive, he is a martyr to the enemy, as acknowledged by the now-dead terrorist Anwar al-Awlaki in an internet post. And I quote this terrorist, Nidal Hassan is a hero. The fact that fighting against the U.S. Army is an Islamic duty today cannot be disputed. Nidal has killed soldiers who are about to be deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan in order to kill Muslims. In February 2010, the Boston Globe obtained a confidential internal report detailing results of the Army's investigation. According to the Globe, the report concluded that officers within the Army were aware of Hassan's tendencies toward radical Islam as early as 2005. It noted one instance specifically in 2007 in which Nidal Malik Hassan gave a classroom presentation titled, Is the War on Terror a War on Islam? An Islamic Perspective. The instructor reportedly interrupted Hassan as he thought that the psychiatrist was trying to justify terrorism. Hassan's superior officers took no action related to this incident, believing that Hassan's comments were protected under the First Amendment and that having a Muslim psychiatrist contributed to diversity. The recent investigation noted Hassan's statement might have been grounds for removing him from the service, as the First Amendment did not apply to soldiers in the same way as to civilians. Was this just another incident in the never-ending occurrence of political correctness affecting our government, our military leaders, and our society as a whole, wherein we, as a people, are afraid to speak our mind? Let it be noted, in the military, you do have a reduced level of free speech as to your First Amendment right. Hassan could have been removed, and just maybe he would have left the country and maybe gone off to fight the war on the side of Islam, and our president just maybe would have issued instructions to kill yet another American citizen without due process and in violation of the Constitution. I believe Nidal Malik Hassan bought the weapon, practiced with it, used it to kill Americans. He gave away personal items before the act, knowing he would not be needing them because he was not returning. In his mind, he was bound for glory as an Islamic martyr. One would ask, why is it taking so long? Well, only in January of 2011 was Hassan adjudged sane and able to stand trial. He was then formally arraigned on July 20th, 2011, with the judge initially setting a trial date of July 2012. There were issues of contempt charges and of his beard. His lawyer filed an appeal to the Military Court of Appeals, and that issue has been resolved with all contempt charges dropped and his beard left intact. A new judge was appointed and ruled that the next hearing to address venue and other items would be held in February of 2013. Just maybe at that time, a trial date will be set. But don't bet your heart on it. Knowing the military, we could possibly end up in 2015 still waiting for a resolution to this act of terror. In this case, I believe it is the victims that are the injured. Their final claims need to be addressed. The killer needs to be adjudged and a sentence rendered in order for this whole episode to be closed and finished. Well, until next time in our next Did You Know show, keep your powder dry and your silver coins in your pocket.